You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Tuesday, October 31st, 2017, is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. What does that mean? Well, it means that back on October 31st, 1517, that is when Dr. Luther, a Roman Catholic priest and also a university professor, nailed his 95 theses, we could say his 95 theological statements, onto the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. Why did Luther do that? He wanted to spark a theological debate for the purpose of returning his church body, the Roman Catholic Church, back to the saving truth of God's holy word. When Luther did it, he expected his statements to be well received, and they were by many of the lay people. However, though, for the leaders in his church body, they were not well received. Today we're going to look a little bit at the Reformation, but mostly, though, at the gospel reading. But we're going to see, though, how Dr. Luther fits in here with John, with Jesus, and with others. Those were all men who brought the saving truth. And what was the reaction to that saving truth? Here's a summary by Dr. Lenski of today's gospel reading. He wrote, "The trend of the entire discourse deals not with violence against the kingdom, that is, the kingdom of God, but with the indifference and the dissatisfaction that hinder men from entering it with zest." So what about us? When it comes to the things of God, to the kingdom of God, to spiritual things, do we sometimes take the attitude, whatever? Think about John. John came with a very strong message calling people to repent, but people did not give the proper reaction. And then Jesus came with an amazing message of love, showing love in all kinds of fantastic ways, and yet that kind of a message from him was also rejected. Was that just back at that time? Let's think for a moment prior to the time of John and Jesus. If you go back to the Old Testament, people were hanging on to their own version of the truth. What did God do? God loved them. God sent the prophets to proclaim the truth of God. And what did most people do? They rejected the prophets. They even killed the prophets. And then in the time of Jesus, God sends John. Jesus himself comes. And they are proclaiming God's truth. God loves the people. God wants them to hear that truth. He wants them to be transformed. And what do most people do? They reject John. They reject Jesus. John is beheaded. Jesus is crucified. And then we get to the Middle Ages, and we come to the time of Martin Luther, 500 years ago. And again, that was a time where people were hanging on to their own version of truth. And here comes Dr. Luther proclaiming the truth of God like people had not heard it ever, or at least for a long, long time. And yes, it did make a profound difference in the world, his proclaiming of that truth. But at the same time, there were some very important people. If only they would have received it, that could have even made a greater difference. But instead, though, they rejected it. And from 1521 until 1546, for that 25-year period of time, Luther was a man who was wanted dead or alive. Can you imagine living 25 years being wanted dead or alive by the authorities? What was the pattern for the prophets, for John, for Jesus, for Luther? Basically, the pattern was, if you don't like the message, kill the messenger. And unfortunately, many messengers were killed, and these were simply messengers bringing the saving truth from God. So it's a very sad thing. Let's get into our gospel reading today. We're in Matthew chapter 11, going to verse 12. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of the heavens is brought with force, and forceful people seize it. If you look at almost any English translation, you're going to find a little bit different wording there. It's a tough situation in the Greek, and really what I have here is I'm going with Lenski's translation here of the Greek, because I think he has it right, even though I admit it's very difficult here. So what does it mean then that the kingdom is brought with force? Think back to John, for example. John was preaching to the crowds, and one thing he said to them, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" That was a forceful way of John bringing this message to the crowds. Or think about Jesus himself. He proclaimed, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So both of them were bringing the kingdom in a forceful way, but it was also because God loves all people so much that he wanted to bring the truth in a forceful way so that by that truth, people could be set free. What does it mean that the kingdom is seized by force? Think about the Holy Spirit getting a hold of a person who does not know Jesus Christ, making the truth known to that person, bringing that person to faith in Jesus Christ. What happens? Well, think about Paul, for example, or think about Dr. Luther. Maybe you can think about your own story or my own story. When God gets a hold of someone, it makes quite a difference. As the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So truly, it makes a radical difference when people are gotten a hold of by God's truth in Christ. Going to verse 13, Jesus said, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So when it came to the Old Testament prophets, for centuries, they were calling the people to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means be sorry for your sins. Believe in Jesus who is coming, from that perspective, who is coming to do the work he did here in order to take away the sin of the world. And then what about the connection between John and Elijah? If we go to the prophet Malachi, the final book in the Old Testament, the prophet wrote, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So the Lord was speaking through Malachi to tell us of this Elijah-type prophet who would come. And then Jesus himself says, John is that Elijah-type prophet. And then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, we're not talking about the difference between someone who is physically able to hear and someone who is physically deaf. We're talking about someone who is spiritually able to hear versus someone who is spiritually dead and unable to hear. So for those who received John and his message, what could we say? They had ears that functioned spiritually, and that happened by the grace of God. What about for Dr. Luther? God raises him up. He's like an angel. He's a messenger. He's bringing great truth. Many people heard what he said. Many people read his writings. And yet, for those who reacted, for those who responded in a favorable way, that's because God had given them functioning spiritual ears. What about us? Here we are today. He's given us functioning spiritual ears. He's given us a hunger for word and sacrament, and we are here today to receive and to benefit. And then going on in the text, going to verse 16, Jesus said, "But to what shall I compare this generation?" So what generation was he talking about? He told us earlier, he's talking about the people living from the days of John the Baptist until now. So when Jesus said that, he was really meaning for just a short period of time, he was talking about those particular people. But the people of that particular generation, were there people like that prior to that time? By all means. Are there people like that today? By all means. Keep in mind, too, when Jesus talked about this generation, he was talking to those very people. Jesus wasn't shy. He didn't back down. He's talking to those very people, and those people were not ignorant. In other words, they were not lacking knowledge. They very well knew about John and his message. They knew about Jesus and his message. But what was the problem? For those people of this generation, they rejected them both. A very sad situation. I think the people wanted it their way. So Jesus explained to them how they were when he said to them, "It is like young children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, a funeral song, and you did not mourn." I think the people took this attitude, if we could put it into words. I think they would have said to Jesus, "Lord, you become what we want, and don't expect us to become what you want." So they wanted it their way. Has anyone here ever wanted things their own way? I think we all have, haven't we? We all have that sin nature in us, so we're all that way. But God wants us to know that's not a good way to be. That's why Dr. Luther said that on a daily basis, we should drown the old nature and allow the new nature to emerge and arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So that's a daily, constant challenge for us as Christians. In the book of Judges, it describes people living in a world where we could say that sin is unchecked. So it was true way back at the time of the Judges. It's probably been true in every generation since that time, all the way up to today. It says in the book of Judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So people didn't say, "Hey, what does God say?" They said, "What do I say? What do I feel? What do I think?" And again, we can fall into that very same kind of a thing. So God is challenging us to dig into his word and not be wavering between what he says and what we think, but to say no to us and to say yes to him. Is that how we get saved? No. God has taken action. God has made us his own in holy baptism. God gathers us here today to feed us his word, to give us the body and blood of Christ. It's by God's work that we are saved, but we don't want to go forward and dishonor our great God either. And then we come to two examples here that Jesus gave, and we have two extremes, John at one extreme, Jesus at the other extreme. Jesus said to this same group of people, in other words, this generation, he said to them, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say," or he could have said, "and you say, he has a demon." So this particular generation, they wanted the eating and drinking, and when John wasn't on board with that, they slandered him. They rejected him. And then he comes with another example, and he says of himself, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." So they wanted John eating and drinking. He didn't. That wasn't good. Jesus comes eating and drinking, and they don't want that either. So what did they do to him? They condemn him and they crucify him. Lenski has a nice summary statement here. He wrote, "What they demanded of John, they condemned in Jesus, and what they condemned in John, they demanded of Jesus." So the people didn't want it either way. And then Jesus concluded with this statement, "Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." In other words, what a person does demonstrates his wisdom. So knowledge is to know something. Wisdom is to take what we know and to put it into practice. So that's what the prophets were doing. That's what John was doing. That's what Jesus was doing. That is what Martin Luther was doing. They were taking what they knew and they were proclaiming it to others and they were applying it to their own lives. When we think about all of those men and many others, they very strongly emphasized sin and condemnation. They didn't pull any punches. They said what the Bible says, that all have sinned, and because of our sins, every one of us deserve to be punished by God forever and ever. That's what the Bible teaches. But then, even in a greater way, they emphasized God's great gifts of forgiveness, of eternal life in Jesus Christ, and said, though our sins are great, God's love and mercy in Jesus Christ is even greater. Let's rejoice that God has given such men as John and Luther and the prophets and so many others pointing us to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not squander our opportunity. Let us be honest with our sin by God's grace. Let us turn from our sin by God's grace. Let us embrace Christ and know for certain that we have his forgiveness in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for opening the spiritual eyes of us and of many through the extensive writing, preaching, and teaching of Dr. Luther. We pray even now that you would keep us and all believers ever sorry for our sins, never trusting in Christ alone and his finished work. And we also pray for all who do not yet know your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would get their attention somehow, some way, that you would open their eyes to the truth, and that you would bring them into your kingdom. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.